I've said it before when people talk about structure. That my structure are the 100 million Nigerians living in poverty, 35 million young people unemployed, those people who are finding it difficult to live, the people, Nigerians are today spending over 100% of their money on feeding. That are my structures. And above all, I have the most important structure, the Almighty God.
This is the Awakening Podcast, and my name is Chantel Essay. Welcome back to the Awakening Podcast. My name is Chantel Essay, and today we are talking about if the youths are going to obey. So that is the topic for today's episode. Will the youths obey? And I have with me Francis, Ebien, and I also have Lawrence.
Hi, everyone.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. Okay, we all know that the election season is kickstarting sometime at the end of September. And we have four major aspirants. The first person is Bola Tinubu, who we talked about in the last episode. And we also have Atiku Abubakar, who was the vice president of Nigeria. And we have Peter Obi, who was governor of Anambra State. And we have Rabiu Kwakwanso, who was governor of Kano State. And these four people are so far are the major people that we have to choose from. So first of all, I'm going to start with Francis. Francis, I need you to, from these four candidates right now, who do you think is a lesser evil?
I think it's clear to everyone. The last couple of years, if I'll go as far back as 8 years ago, when we still had one of them being Atiku Abubakar as the vice president, even his boss clearly said he's so evil that you can't give him anything to keep for you. I'll take each and every one of them. And then you go down to Bola Tinubu, the former governor of Lagos State.
Yeah.
A lot of people call him the Messiah, the one who changed the face of Lagos, the one who brought development. But for me, I think governance is about doing those things that you say during your campaign. You're supposed to help put infrastructure in place. So if you're praising him for what his job is, then I think we have it all figured out wrong. I don't know much about Rabiu Kwakwanso of Kano State, but I've heard quite a lot about Peter Obi, the former governor of Anambra State. I think a lot of people know for certain that if you were blindfolded and you were told to pick, you would intuitively pick Peter Obi. And there are reasons to that. If we start talking about it now, we might spend the entire day. But I feel is lesser evil. Politicians generally, they have skeletons in their cupboard. They've done one or two things that we might not be able to talk about. But to my knowledge, if I was to make a decision of who our next president should be, I'll go for Peter Obi.
Peter Obi. Yeah. So Peter Obi is a lesser evil for you, Francis.
Yeah,
all right, Ebien, how about you?
Of course, Peter Obi. Because to be fair, if you look at Tinubu, because I'll analyze him, he kickstarted Amechi and the rest of them who rallied around to kick Jonathan out when they were coming in. So this was in, was it 2000 and how long has it been? Is it not 15?
2015.
2015, when he came out and he came with Buhari with the campaign of change, $1 to 1 naira. Back then I was in Ghana. $1 was, I think, 150 before it went to 200 in 8 years.
Yeah.
I've gone from $1 to about, is it 700?
Six, 700.
And then you've been sat there. It's not like as if we're given any post, and now you're coming out thinking, because I've ruled and I've ruled Lagos, it's now my turn to rule Nigeria. The same thing with Atiku. I mean, this is like his third try.
Yeah.
Because he feels this is right. These people are really nuts, not because they want to help us change, but because they feel it's their birthright.
Yeah.
They feel that I've been there. Atiku has been a vice president. I mean, why not my turn to be the president? You understand? But Peter Obi, because Peter Obi even started in PDP. He didn't like the way things were going in PDP because he saw that this is a place where you will have to pay to become the presidential aspirant, mm-hmm. not a place where you'll be given it based on what you have done or what you're going to be able to do. Yeah. And when he speaks, I think he speaks with structures of what he's going to do, how he's going to help. Mm-hmm. The rest of them don't speak with any of these things. They just come out with money, spray money, speak and go. And this is not what we want. We want our country to actually progress.
Yeah.
We don't want people to be leaving rather than staying.
Mm-hmm.
So
for you, it's Peter Obi. Okay, so Lawrence, I am suspecting that you might have another opinion. So who do you think is the lesser evil?
Okay. First and foremost, I will speak devoid of political affiliation or whatsoever. I happen to be a member of the All Progressive Congress.
Right.
I'm a card-carrying member of the All Progressive Congress. But when you look at the four of them, I'll start from the worst to the good, better, and all of that.
Yeah.
First, I think my worst would be Alhaji Atiku Abubakar.
Hmm. Why? Why is that? Is it because of division in PDP and with Wike not winning the presidential ticket?
No, far from that. I'm looking at individual. I'm not looking at party. I'm not looking at whatsoever. I'm looking at antecedents. I'm looking at character. I'm looking at person. Yeah, they tell us Atiku has done well in his business, but I tell people human beings are selfish. Our leaders today, they send their children to school abroad. Am I right? They want the best for themselves, but they don't get to fix our schools in Nigeria. So when you say Atiku has done well in business, he wants the best for himself, but not for Nigeria. So if you say give Nigeria to Atiku because he has done well in his private business, please. Is he a nationalist, a true nationalist? That he did well for himself business wise. Will he ever do well for himself? Following his antecedents at one time military governor, did he do well? As vice president of Nigeria, did he do well? He was in charge of privatization of federal government assets. Did he do well? His businesses, his boasting of today, are they not all federal government properties? Why didn't, if he has Nigeria at heart, the same skills he employed in privatizing those businesses for himself, why didn't he employ those same skills to build up those businesses for federal government, but he sold them to himself and employed those skills. So Atiku Abubakar is a no-no for me. Then the next person I'll speak about is my party man, Alhaji.
Oh my God.
Yes. People may say I am aggrieved because Alhaji, Senator Bola Tinubu, may have chosen a Muslim. No, that's not my grievances against him. If you ask me, I'll tell you he's the most experienced of all of them. But being a true Nigerian, my loyalty is to Nigeria first before the party. I voted Buhari last time against Jonathan, being my own ethnic brother, because it was party interest. Now I want to vote Nigeria interest, not party interest. It is true that Tinubu is more experienced to every other person. He has raised people. He laid the foundation of Lagos State. But I think he's also self-centered a bit and may not have so much for Nigerians, though he has the experience, which we can't take away from him. Then, my lesser evil now, I'm confused when you talk about lesser evil, because I would say
Kwakwanso?
Rabiu Musa Kwakwanso and PPOB, if I'm to scale them, I'll scale them about same, but there is a slight difference. I stayed in Kano for a while, the year 2017 and the year 2018. I saw the works of Rabiu Musa Kwakwanso about those period when I was in Kano. I've been to Anambra over and over again. I've seen the works of Peter Obi. And if you go across Nigeria, Rabiu Musa Kwakwanso has a large followership across the country. But majorly among the northern extractions, wherever you see them, those people driving tricycle, they call them keke in Nigeria.
Yeah,
you see on that, you see pictures of Rabi Musa Kwangwasu on virtually every keke napeo and all of that. So you could see he's actually a good leader. Check even in government and out of government. But out of government, I would say Rabi Musa Kwangwasu is a better option. But in government, I think at this point in time, Rabbi Musa Kwakwansu understands the challenges of the northerners, but we need a person that understands the general challenges of Nigeria that can fit into everything. So I'll go with Peter Obi because he understands the challenges of Nigerians. He understands the solution to our problems. The campaign, Alhaji Atiku Abubakar, the campaign of Bola Ahmed Tinubu, the campaign of Rabbi Musa Kwakwansu, is the same old campaign we've had in Nigeria. We don't want people to come up tomorrow and they say, this is what we met in 2023, and it is not our fault. They've damaged Nigeria from 1999 to 2023, so we are coming. No, we want someone that understands the problem, that has a solution, that is coming to face the challenges, not coming to do the blame games like the current administration has done. So I'll go with His Excellency Peter Obi. Thank you.
Peter Obi. Okay, that was actually like, you know, how Lawrence broke everything down. Like, it was so insightful. But there is something looming right now, and it's the fact that do the youth, because this podcast is basically targeting the youth, is aimed at the youth and building them up to, you know, towards political inclusiveness and also educating them about politics at this time, at this point. Do you think, and I'm going to start with you, Lawrence, do you think that at this time the youths are ready for somebody like Peter Obi? Because, you know, going by your analysis, you know, the way you dissected the whole scenario amongst the four candidates, it seems and it's clear from our conversation for the last, you know, 8 minutes that Peter Obi seems to be the one to have, that has a clear direction on where the country is supposed to be headed. Now, do you think that the youth are ready at this time for Peter Obi? And what do you think is going to be the challenge, or what do you think this is going to be for Nigeria at this time if Peter Obi becomes the president? And do you think the youth of Nigeria are ready for Peter Obi at this time, considering the things that Peter Obi plans to do for Nigeria?
Thank you again. I think if the youth are ready for Peter Obi?
Yes.
You know, I'll go back again to 2015. Sometime in 2015, Nigerians were angry and needed a change. And Nigerians said anything but Jonathan. And whenever Nigerians come up with this spirit and this motive, anything but, I've always seen nothing have stopped Nigerians. But it was painful that what we said in 2015 was anything but Jonathan. We never had a clear picture of what we want and where we're going. So we got what we have now. Then again, another time, in 2020, October 2020, Nigerians came up, led by the youth, because the youth felt our fathers have actually failed us. So they said, this time, we're taking our fate into our hands.
Mm.
And it erupted into the NSAS protest.
Yes.
And it was a force that even the government of Nigeria couldn't stop. The armed men couldn't stop. The armed men fled for their lives. The DPOs of police stations in Port Harcourt, about how many soldiers were beheaded, police officers beheaded, DPO beheaded in Ibadan. I could remember around Ojo too, in different locations, everywhere, beheading people in Port Harcourt, in Anambra, different places, they beheaded military officers, uniformed men, and Everybody fled for their lives because Nigerian youth took their fate into their hands, mm-hmm. and they made a statement that was clear and categorical. Nothing could stop them until, for the sake of peace, everybody had to drop their sword, and we are where we are today. I must say that the NSAS protest didn't stop, but it took a new shape. The NSAS protest is just a revolutionary vehicle.
Mm.
And I must say that this revolutionary vehicle is on a voyage to 2022. And that the man Peter Obi took advantage of the carrier season.
Mm.
This voyage, because if you watch in October 2020, the NSAS protest never had a leader.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not saying the NSAS protest, but I'm saying this is a national revolution voyage that was betted out of the NSAS protest. And P2B now is the new face of the Nigerian youth towards in the direction of 2023. So if Nigerian youth can go in same spirit and in same mind, continuity of October 2020, I don't think if anything can stop Peter Obi from sitting upon that seat. You know, earlier they said he doesn't have a structure, but I thought they would remember what happened in October 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And after which they forgot what happened in October 2020, they said he doesn't have a structure, that the youth, Big Brother Naija, would distract them, according to one Reign of Mockery and Dino Melaye. You say, don't worry, Big Brother Naija will distract them. Don't worry, this will distract them. And they came up with every story they said.
Mm.
And before we could realize, Peter Obi went to, when he got there, he got the rousing welcome. It was a 100-seater capacity church, and he had overflow. So we had over 100,000 Nigerians, and he was received. So they felt, okay, don't mind that. He went to redeem about millions of persons gathered. Same thing. So they are now saying, oh, don't worry, those people won't come out on the election day. But I tell people, his popular is increasing every day.
Mm.
They say, he's not popular in the north.
Mm.
But today, the whole of North Central, I could tell you, Peter Obi is more on ground to any of the candidates.
Yeah.
Maybe having a little slight challenge in the northwest and northeast, but his popularity is increasing every day. So I'm not seeing anything that will stop him.
Yeah.
Say, what would be the possible challenge Peter Obi may face? The possible challenge Peter Obi may face is that his supporters are actually first Nigerian youth, then secondly Nigeria adults who feel that their children need a better life.
Mm.
The reasonable and sensible Nigerians that are not partisans.
Yeah.
So his supporters are not just the youth, but Nigerians who want to give a better life to their children also are also his supporters. So what are the possible challenges you ask that Peter Obi may face? The possible challenge I feel he may face is that the likes of the two political big parties, which talk about the PDP, APC, they are synonymous with violence. So I think the only thing they could do is to rain down violence, maybe have gun shootouts, so that you and I that don't have gun, you and I that have a future for ourselves, won't come out that day. Other than that, I don't think if they could stop us. But if Nigerian youth will go in the spirit they went in October 2020, which I'm not advising anybody to employ violence, I don't know what will come of Nigeria. Nigeria may just burn down. So we pray that violence should not be involved. I think the only challenge Nigerians may have may be violence. But take away violence, I think it will be walking into the presidential villa 2023. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Lawrence. Ebien, what do you think about Peter Obi getting into the presidential seat next year? And do you think the youths are ready for Peter Obi at this time?
I think the country is ready, not just the youth, but at the end of the day, the question is, will the political structure or would the way Nigeria is allow him to enter? Because unfortunately to say, poverty is the problem in Nigeria. So anybody can sell their votes, especially those that are fending for their families, because people can shout Obi, Obi, Obi today, and then on election day, someone that hasn't seen at least 50 to 100,000 in his life before. You could meet him and say, oh, take this. And then he says, oh, my vote is going to Tinubu. You understand? Yeah. But the youths are ready because I believe that this new age, this new time, social media especially, will not allow vote buying. It won't allow rigging because everything can actually be videoed, documented. And then they will be ready to, because I mean they use NYC youths for elections. Yeah. So the youth will be ready to stand there and say, we are not taking your money. We're actually going to do this free and fair.
Yeah.
And I believe, or I hope, that they will do that on that day, because if they don't do it, then what are we, or where are we going to?
Yeah.
And for the rest of them, I think Tinubu and Atiku, their audience is mostly the old and the adults. And to your friend said, that his Peter Obi's following is just some adults that think that the country should be better for their youth. Yes, but I think he has greater following in the Southeast, amongst the Igbos, all the Igbos, adults, young
ones. Are you sure he does? He has a greater following in the Southeast. Really?
I have a lot of Southeastern friends here, and everybody's obedient. Yeah. Nobody speaks about any other person but Peter Obi.
Hmm.
And some of them are older. And then back home, too, all their people are obedient.
Yeah.
The only issue is the North. Or the North, like you said, the Northwest.
Hmm.
But I feel that if Atiku and Tinubu could fight over the votes there, and share it, and allow him to take over the rest of them, then I think he should go in. But personally, I think the country, the youth, we are ready, we need change, we need structure. Like you said before, in 2015, all everybody wanted was anything but good luck, Jonathan.
Yeah.
And APC came with lies. Why? Because even me, my family is PDP through and through from when I was born. My father has always been in PDP. My mom has been in PDP. Oh, well, she hasn't been, but her state has been PDP. So my family is PDP through and through. So when Atiku came, when Buhari came, I looked at it and I was like, Buhari's campaign is better than Jonathan's in a way. Mm-hmm. Because, they are telling us what they are going to do. They are giving us different things. And good luck, Jonathan, just sitting there based on, I'm the president. Incumbent president has never lost. And then I'm going to win this election. And then he didn't win because, to be fair, nobody wanted him back in that seat. No one. The country was going in different directions.
Yeah.
Buhari has somehow managed to remain there for 8 years. Well, kudos to him. But we kudos to him. But we don't want to see Tinubu there, and we don't want PDP there. PDP is my party, but what have they done for me after or since? Nothing. I'm not a card carrying member. I'm even in the diaspora. So what would make me to live here and go back to my country is what I want to see, not what would make me to still remain here.
Yeah.
I stopped following politics since I came to this country because, Nigerian politics, at a point in time, it started becoming lies. We were not really seeing what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Money is coming in, there's none going down.
The snake that is swallowing the money, the rats.
Money is coming into the country, you're not seeing it, it's all going somewhere, in someone's pocket. So, what do you expect? Let us bring someone that when the money comes in, you actually work with the money, you actually see where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually hold governors to be accountable for whatever they are doing with this money.
Yeah.
And then as if in the federal government, you can actually show us what he's doing with this money because the man has a structure, believe it or not. The rest of them don't. Yeah. Like I said, it's like the airplane that landed.
I needed to give that analogy Evian gave an analogy about an airplane and pilot. So Evian, please.
The lady wrote, a plane I boarded made an emergency landing at an abandoned airstrip after the pilot said he was unfit to fly a commercial plane. And asked who can fly. So three people raised their hands.
Mm-hmm.
So the first man said he has flown a commercial plane for 8 years. He can navigate heavy turbulence that frequently occurred mid-air. And then he said all the other qualifications he had.
Mm-hmm.
He took a bow and sat down and everyone applauded him. For the second man to speak, he managed to stand up with the assistance of his friends who boarded.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone protested and said he was unwell.
Hmm.
But his friends were now trying to speak for him, and he kept saying or muttering, it's my turn, it's my turn. And people said, it's your turn to do what? He said, it's my turn to fly the plane. The passengers were speechless.
Hmm.
And then before he could, they asked him to show his license. And then before he could speak, another man who had flown another plane in the past and was in terrible condition, and they discovered that this man has been stealing the plane's phones. This man, his co-pilot, his former co-pilot, who also helped him steal the plane's phones and had flown the plane in terrible condition, now came out to speak that he now was able to fly the plane. And what was, yes, they said, so in this heated argument, the third man who had already been forgotten stood up and said he should be allowed to speak. They asked him to present his qualifications. He presented his license, but had in fact never flown a plane, as he was only a co-pilot. We also discovered that as a co-pilot for 8 years, he was known for siphoning the plane's maintenance funds and had built an empire out of it, just like the second man. And he was rejected. At this point, we had heard from all three pilots, and the second man kept saying it's his turn and that the passenger should choose him over that. So they asked, at the end of all this, because it's a long thread, but they will ask, at the end of all this, who would you choose to fly this plane?
I would definitely choose the first one that has
the one that is sick and saying is his turn, or the one that has siphoned funds with another co-pilot, or the one that has actually flown a plane through turbulence, through everything, and has given his qualifications. Yes, yeah. And there's results. So that's it at the end of the day. Any sensible person will pick the first pilot.
So the first pilot in this case is Peter Obi. The second pilot is Tinubu. And the third pilot is Atiku.
So for me, that's it. That's just basically it.
Oh my gosh, that was so hilarious. Francis.
Yeah. So are the youth ready? I think we have never been more ready than we are now. Taking from the NSAS protest, to be honest, I've never seen young people in my entire life that serious minded about a particular thing. Like Lawrence mentioned, there was no leader for the move. There was no one saying he's the one in charge that they could bribe. I mean, the elites could bribe. So banking on that, I think the youths are ready, very ready. Would there be challenges? Definitely. Over time in Nigerian politics, we've seen that the past leaders would do terrible jobs. The one who comes after blames them for the terrible jobs they do themselves. And it's been the order of the day.
Yeah.
But there's one thing that we have not fully settled in Nigeria, and that's the issue of rigging elections.
Now,
these old guys who have been there, they know their way. They know how to turn our heads, even as youths, against each other.
Yeah.
So they'll come out and play again this time. They'll come out to do the same strategy. The same youths that we are clamoring, oh, we want Peter Obi, they would throw money in some of our faces.
Yeah.
They will give promises of you get into this position when I enter. There are those who are heads of parastatals that are known for as thugs, you know, the road transport workers and the rest of them.
The MCO Luomos. Let's call their names.
And the likes of them.
Those guys are ready to kill because of what they are getting. I have I served in Benue State a few years ago, 2015. And at that time, we had David Mack as the Senate president. Benue was in a terrible state. In fact, I served in his city, Otukpo precisely. That's where he was from. That's where Two-Face is from. And he would come with a chopper. The roads are bad. He has a landing pad on top of his house. He comes. But what he was doing that would not make, if you as much as raise a voice against David Mack, they can beat you or kill you or drive you out. What he was doing was to pick one or two people from each family, give them a position or something doing in Abuja, and everyone shuts up.
Wow.
So that's the same thing these leaders would do. If you are benefiting from someone, you would put your chest on the line, whether or not it's good for the country,
because of
selfishness, selfish interest. So I think that's one of the strategies they'll do. They'll come, turn our heads against ourselves, throw money on people's faces. Those with no anthem of dignity amongst us, even as youths, would take those monies, take the opportunities that they will give them and totally forget about where the nation should be. But I actually see Peter Obi winning this, and it will take all of our individual efforts, even those here in diaspora, those back in Nigeria who will be able to vote.
Yeah.
We need to sing it more than we are already doing. People need to be aware that these leaders need to be in care homes, the old ones. Tinubu and the likes.
I didn't see that coming.
They should be elder statesmen in care homes and be giving advice. They don't have any business leading or taking Nigeria anywhere because they've done that for years and we are nowhere to be found. We are all here out in diaspora because we want a better country. We want a place where you are safe, you have peace of mind. We don't want to be here forever. I want to go back home to Nigeria. I want to walk on the streets and be fine. I want to drive at night and not be worried that I'll have police officers harass me. And that is what I think Peter Obi will change if he enters. And hopefully he does.
Hopefully he does. This has been such a beautiful conversation. Lastly, finally, I'm going to start with you, Lawrence. What do you think 2023 is going to look like after Peter Obi? Very quickly, in like a few minutes, like 1 or 2 minutes. If Peter Obi wins the election next year, do you think there will be peace or war in Nigeria? What's the overview?
From what I can, I'm not a prophet, so from my observation of trends currently now, if Peter Obi gets to win 2023, my take will be first, down through all south, there's going to be a huge celebration over his victory. North Central, there's going to be celebration. But for the fact that he's still building momentum in Northwest and Northeast, although some states in Northwest and Northeast, he's building so much momentum. So in those areas, we're going to have huge celebration. But there's something I'm going to tell Nigerians, that we're in a terrible state right now. We're in a terrible state. So in the midst of the celebration, they should not just expect so much magic immediately, because there will be so much hardship more than what Nigerian is actually experiencing now. If when P2B we win, but it's going to be for a short time, because he may have to make some difficult decisions and all of that. But that is if there would be, but I could say, like the fuel subsidy, if they get to remove the fuel subsidy, which to me, I feel that's actually scam. They remove the diesel subsidy and I ask, what are they using the money for? Nothing. We can't see what they're using the money for. So probably, I don't want to accuse any cabal of eating money because I don't have facts. I'm a lawyer. I don't have proof. But if there is a cabal actually eating the money, then let's remove the subsidy. So if there is no cabal eating the money, then Nigerians may suffer a little. So I'm just trying to advise Nigerians who will be patient with him. You know, sometimes when you want to have gold, it may have to go through the refining process, to go through fire, but it's going to be beautiful when it comes out. So there'll be jubilation upon the victory of P2B, but we shouldn't just expect that a Jesus Christ has been born. Even when Jesus Christ was born, in the the peak of the 3 years was being sacrificed on the cross with his blood, pierced side and crown, pierced, all of that. But after the 33 years, you and I have, I believe the Christian listeners will understand better. So there's no magic. He wouldn't perform. He's going to follow the processes, and I think we're going to get a better country. He has traveled to quite a number of countries. You hear him speak. He has been to different countries. He has seen how power is working here, this, that. He has facts and figures at his fingertips. He has gone to a whole lot. So it's all to see how we could actually replicate some of these things. He has said he's going to transform from a consuming country to a producing country. We must start producing. It means we must start tilling. And in the year of tilling, we may have to sweat and all of that. So let's just endure him when he gets to, if he gets to win, and understand that we're sowing and harvest is coming. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lawrence. Ebien, how about you?
To be fair, I think at the end of the day, if he wins, they will just, the people that wanted him in would be happy and rejoice, and the rest of them might just accept it because it's not looking likely for them that they are going to win, although there will be confidence there that they will win. But like he said, it's going to be a trying time because it takes time to climb up a mountain, but it's very easy to roll down from the mountain. And I think even in his first 3 to 4 years, we should see what he has done and then allow him to go on again. And then even after him, because he cannot rule Nigeria forever. So we should, the next person coming in shouldn't be someone that will now say, oh, Peter Obi has done rubbish. We should vote for another person with structure once again.
Yes.
Not someone that is just coming to speak to us and tell us. Yeah. Yes. Because even in the UK here, Theresa May at first was never in, she wasn't in support of Brexit. But when David Cameron left and she came in after winning the party election, if it's Nigeria, somebody that was not in support of Brexit to come and say, please, we are not doing this Brexit again. We are going away. We are staying in.
Yeah.
But she continued. She came in and said, it has happened, it has happened. This is what the people want and we'll keep it going. And even when Boris Johnson came and took her out, he, although he was a supporter of Brexit, but there are some things he still continued that she had done. So, but in Nigeria, there's never any continuity. Someone new would come in and maybe change my state in Cross River is really a witness to that fact. Because when Donald Duke was there, he did a lot. Or he's not the best person. He stole a lot. Yes, everybody steals. But he did a lot in terms of tourism and all those stuff. And then Imoke came in and said, these things that Donald Duke has done, he's not producing for the country, blah, 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 for the state. Gradually, gradually, he phased out these things. Cross River, that used to be a state of tourism, that used to bring, tourism used to bring income.
Yeah.
Gradually, the tourism phased out. And then the next one came in and came in with his own ideas, which were dreams. We haven't seen anything. So, and this thing, these people are people that we vote in there. We put them in there because we are supporting the party or supporting this. We are not putting them in there because they are coming with a structure, telling us how they are going to continue this or how they are going to continue that. So, this is the fact. There will be trying times, we will suffer, but we should give the man some time. It takes time to clear out bad water. If you have bad water in a cup and you want to drink water,
you have to pour it out first.
Pour it away before you get the clean one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should pour out the whole of Nigeria, but some people should be let go.
Yeah.
Early retirements for some people.
Care home packages.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
You're just like, you just want the care home passes.
So this guy should be in.
You say, no, let me tell you. You see people in ministries, permanent secretaries or directors, they go and backdate their age just so that they can stay there a little bit longer.
I know a candidate that has just done that.
Yes. Why would you be 70 years, it's time to retire, and then you now backdate your age and say, 60. No, I'm 65 or 60, to stay there 10 more years? Doing what? Stealing money. So that's it. Here, if someone is your time to retire, retire. You then retire. You go and look for a job in a private firm, doing whatever you want to do. Not you say, oh, let me still be here and steal more money. And then, that's it. And then at the end of the day, another advice to the youth. If they bring money for you to vote for them, collect the money, but vote for who you want to vote for. Very simple. You will not follow, yes, you will not follow me to see who I'm voting for. You ask me, who did you vote for? I voted for Tinubu, I voted for Atiku. Are you sure? Yes. Did you follow me into my ballot box? Do you know what I tipped there? Because you have been deceiving me all these years. Why should I not deceive you? And this is good deceit, because my money will do, your money will do good. This is the good your money is actually supposed to do for me.
Yes, true.
So if I take it and I vote where I want at the end of the day, that's fine. My country will still be changed. Your money has gone. Simple. Because you've wasted our money all this time. Give it back to us and I vote where I want. You can't follow me into my ballot box. It's against the law.
Yeah.
So I'll vote wherever I want to vote. That's it. So that's my advice. If anybody comes to force you or cajoles you with money to vote for this, No problem. Who do you want me to vote for? I'll vote me if it's me. I'll collect from two different people. Do you want me to vote for Tinubu? Yes. Okay, no problem. I'll go to Atiku's
people. Oh,
I say, do you want me to vote for Atiku? Yes, no problem. If anybody comes to give me money to vote for Obi, I'll say, no, thank you. Keep your money. And I vote for who I want to vote for. It's very simple. So, yeah.
Very simple. Then,
yeah.
That is so corny. Simple. But thank you, Evian. Francis.
Okay, so at the end of the day, we know that whatever decision we make, our children would suffer for it.
Yeah.
If we're going to make Peter Obi the president, we have to put our hands in the plow, and then you're not going to back out.
Yeah.
The advice I have for Nigerians and how it will look like if he enters, definitely no good thing happens in one day.
Mm-hmm.
We will not wake up tomorrow and find the Nigeria of our dreams. The structures will have to be built. So I'm advising Nigerians to be patient. We will not chase him away in 1 week or in 1 year. But again, another thing I see that will likely happen is this elderly past leaders, they won't give up easily. They would try to make the country ungovernable. There would be security issues. They would fund more terrorism. That's something I'm seeing. It's a strategy for these guys.
Yes.
When they can't get what they want, they would cause chaos. So when those times happen, we should not forget. I know that Nigerians or humans generally forget easily.
Yeah.
We should not forget in the past it has happened. We've seen leaders who want to blackmail the citizens, cause chaos, and then point it to the answer, oh, it's this person that is doing it. So we should expect to see that happen. We should expect to see that they would want to cause issues for Peter Obi, but we should not relent. The same way we've been agitating about wanting a good leader for ourselves now, for our country now, we should not forget after 4 years. Yeah. We should stay with him. He will do what he can do to clear out the rubbish the first 4 years or the first couple of years, and then he builds on that. And we hope we get what we desire in our country. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we've come to the end of the Awakening podcast. Make sure you listen to every episode. It's educative and it's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your favorite podcast platforms. My name is Chantel Essay, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye.